130 docket, Second Court of Appeals. Your panel today is, to my right, Justice Ann Gardner. To my left, Justice Bill Meyer. I'm Leanne Dofino. We have two cases set for oral submission on the 130 docket. We'll take a break after we hear the first two cases, and then we have one case set for oral submission on the 3 o'clock docket with a different panel. So we'll take a break at the end of the 130 docket, switch out the panel, and then all the other cases are set for oral submission, not set for oral submission, they're set for submission on the briefs. So I understand everybody's ready. Everybody's asked for their maximum time, so everybody can get the last word in. So, Megan, if you'll call the first case, please.
May it please the court, Mr. Joshua Carden to argue for appellant and Mr. Michael Tristan to argue for appellant.
All right. You ready?
I am, Your Honor. Good afternoon. May it please the court, I'm Joshua Carden for Jimmy and June Bennett, the appellants in this matter. This case, Your Honor, represents an unfortunate clash between state law and history on the one side and the pressures of local commissioner court politics in large part on the other side. And to put it a little more metaphysically, in this case, when is a county road a county road? Back in 1998, my clients purchased a piece of property just south of the West Fork of the Trinity River in Wise County. The physical way into that property was to proceed south for 9/10 of a mile on County Road 4393. There was no argument as to that fact as to the in the court below. Where the complication arose is right before crossing the river. There is a bridge. It's a bridge, I believe my colleagues have been kind enough to provide the court with a picture of the bridge as it sits now. That bridge led across the river and led to an easement that my clients owned that led ultimately to their property. That was their legal means of access. In 2005, a log jam caused erosion, began deteriorating both sides of the riverbank around the bridge, and the bridge ultimately landed in the river and was pulled out to its current position, at least at the time of trial, as you see in that picture. The problem for my clients is that eliminated their legal means of access. And so after trying to work out something with the county, they filed this lawsuit seeking that the county would repair the road. And this is where the clash began, because although the county 911 map and although the official county road map that is attached to my brief is exhibit number 3 show that road crossing the river as a county road, everyone else, the local county officials, everyone else seemed to say, no, that map's simply incorrect. That's not a county road. We certainly don't own a bridge that crosses the river. The road stops just before crossing the river. I have 4 points of error that I've raised in my brief, and I have one standard of review that's not the difficult one. That would be the directed verdict that the trial judge granted, dismissing the individual claims against the individual commissioners. One of the difficulties we had is there were undisputedly some actions taken by the county commissioners in piling dirt before the bridge fell in the river. After the erosion began, they piled a big pile of dirt in front of the road. They placed road closed signs. They erected a crossbar that went all the way across the road, indicating that the public was not to pass this way anymore. The difficulty with that is the county never took any official action with respect to this road other than adopting the official county road maps. And so if the commissioners did that, they did that ultra vires. And as the court is well aware, that's if you're acting ultra vires as a county official, the only way that a plaintiff can file a claim is to file it in their individual capacity, because they're acting outside of their normal capacity where a mandamus or some other action might lie. So in reviewing the case law, the judge would have had to have found that there was literally no evidence supporting that was possible to even be submitted to a jury in order to dismiss or enter a directed verdict for the commissioners in their individual capacities and against my clients in that case. Now, unfortunately, that's the most favorable standard of review I have in this case. The rest of them are a little more difficult. The first one I would like to raise is the mandamus issue. Your Honors, that looking at the statutes, looking at the maps, it is difficult to understand why the county officials should not have been required under mandamus to fulfill their duty given by the legislature to maintain County Road 4393 for its full length. The difficulty again becomes is what source do we go to discover that full length?
Okay. I need to get to a more plebeian level here.
Okay.
To what extent is the public entitled to rely on the official representation of the county as to whether they are responsible for a bridge? For example, if I hold out that I have authority to, or that some other person has authority to do certain acts, that's apparent authority to do the act. If I and another person hold ourselves out as married and intend that we are married and there's no legal impediment, other people have the right to rely on our representation that we're married. So to what extent does the public have any right to rely on the map provided by the county saying this is a county road and it ends on the other side of the bridge? And to what extent can the public rely on the county's representation that the rest of the road is closed as an indication that there is a rest of the road? Okay? Like I said, we need to get real basic here.
I think that is the crux of the difficulty in this case, is there are two ways one can ascertain whether a road is a road. One is to actually drive it on your car, and if you see a sign that says maintenance ends and the road drops off, you know there's no more road there. The difficulty in this case is the road was there. We know the road was there. People used the road all the way up until the time the bridge fell in the river. People were using the road, namely my clients, the Bennetts, their neighbors, the Porters. It was possible to cross that bridge. The difficulty is where is the representation? How do we know that any road is an official road other than the maps? Where else does the public go? They can't ask a subjective official. The authority for managing the roads resides in the county commissioners, acting in concert as the commissioner's court, delegated to them by the legislature. That was the case since basically 1917, talking about the government authorities. That's the Wales Trucking versus Stalkup. The governmental authorities have a duty to maintain the public roads. And elsewhere, the Supreme Court has also stated that it's unsurprising that the term roads includes any bridges on that road. That's just a necessary part of making the road traversable. And so if you see a road and it has a bridge on it, by definition, according to Aransas County, that bridge is part of that road. The public has no other source other than the official maps adopted and the official records of the commissioner's court. That's who decides what a county road is in the state of Texas upon delegation by the legislature. They've handed that duty, and it is a duty. It's not a privilege. It's not ministerial. The duty is on the commissioners to lay them out, determine their length, maintain them in a traversable condition. It's got to be free of obstructions. The legislature didn't delegate that away. They didn't say, commissioners, you can leave it however you want it to. They put some minimum requirements, and one of those is it's got to be free of obstructions. It's got to have stumps cut down. But once you have that, once the commissioners have acted, that's all the public has to go on. And that was the frustration in this case, as the record shows, is the maps show the road crossing the river, which by definition would include the bridge. However, the commissioners themselves got up and testified, I don't really think it's that long. I don't think the road goes all the way across the river. And the jury, hearing that testimony, found that, in fact, the road did not cross the river, despite the fact that the only official map ever adopted pursuant to the Texas Transportation Code back in 2006 quite clearly shows, you know, there's the line, there's the legend that says it's a county-maintained road, and it goes all the way across the river.
And the Transportation Code says that the official map is conclusive evidence?
It's the conclusive evidence. The exact wording was it's conclusive evidence of the public's right of access across the road. However, again, it's not even the fact that it was adopted pursuant to that section of the code, is the fact that once the commissioners have declared it to be such, it can't lose its status over time. For example, as the court knows, you can't adversely possess property belonging to the county. You can't fence off a road and automatically do it. There's some odd road provisions in the transportation code, but none of those are applicable here. You have the county acting, declaring a road to be of a certain length. They even, you know, included a picture. And once you have that, the public has nowhere else to go for answers. And that was the difficulty in this case, is because the Bennetts literally had no other way to know whether this road was going to be a road. And the subjective testimony of the officials at trial saying, well, the maps are wrong, then who's right? If that conclusion is followed, then any road on the county road map could be called into question if the commissioners or one of the commissioners acting alone said, you know what, this map is wrong. This is really not part of the county road system, so I'm not going to maintain it anymore. And that's essentially what happened in this case, and the bridge fell in the river as a result. The trial court should have issued a mandamus requiring the county to maintain the road for its full length, which would have included the bridge. After the jury verdict, we filed a motion for judgment notwithstanding the verdict, arguing just what you asked, Justice Gardner, arguing that the county official county map conclusively established the length of this road and its location as a matter of law. It shows it going across the river. There's no dispute that the maps show that. The problem is this is a very old road and a very old bridge. And so there were several old deeds talking about the bridge changing hands back and forth, the most recent activity was the county commissioner's court adopting an official county road map. Now, granted, the 911 map, as in the record, looks exactly the same, showing the road crossing the river. And it does say, you know what, this map is subject to inaccuracies, it's subject to correction. The 911 map is not the official county map. It does happen to agree with the official county road map in this case. And frankly, if there had been no official county road map, I would have a much more difficult case than I have even now. But we do have one. And the difficulty for my clients is, what can anyone rely on to determine whether they actually have a county road giving them access to their property? What can anyone rely on but the county road map?
Mr. Clark.
Yes, Justice Meyer.
How about telling me where, I'd like to understand your position, in Chapter 258 of the Transportation Code, it says that when you file a map for purposes of identifying the public road, the county then becomes
in 258, Your Honor, that is not specified. It's not.
Where is it specified? And what statute and what
It's in 251.001, Your Honor.
251.008?
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry. Yes, Your Honor, 251.00.
I'm reading that, and I don't see in there where it says anything about county's duties to maintain the road. It talks about clearing obstructions and leaving the stumps 6 inches in diameter, but I don't see that it says there that counties must maintain a road that might be a public road.
Yeah, you're correct, Your Honor, and the way, basically what we have here is an obstruction. We have the West Fork of the Trinity is suddenly obstructing the County Road 4393.
Well, how are you going to get rid of the West Fork of the Trinity like you could a stump?
Well, that would be a little more difficult, Your Honor, but it's not necessary to get rid of the West Fork of the Trinity River. That's why we have bridges. We don't have to alter the course of the river, but that's how we get rid of obstructions in any other road, is to put a bridge over it.
Dust accumulated from hundreds of trucks going by on the road have applicability to our case.
Well, Your Honor, I think the main point there is the way the court cited it. It was as a given. It was of course. I mean, they even put that in there. The government authorities, of course, have a duty to maintain the public roads. The Burney Supreme Court case, the City of San Antonio case, says the same thing. They have an absolute duty to maintain safe roads for public travel. And once the commissioner's court said this road, and the only way they can do that really is by adopting a map of some sort. They have to somehow specify, and by specifying this road goes over the river, they took upon themselves the duty to make sure that that road could be traversed for its full length. Your Honor, I don't believe that the City of San Antonio, the City of Burney case, was actually expanding on Wales Trucking as much as it was reaffirming that the county's power to lay out roads and to maintain them, that's a duty and not a privilege. That it's not something that can be exercised at the whim of the commissioner's court, but once they actually set forth the road, that is what triggers their duty to make it safe for public travel, free it from obstructions. And then depending on the class that they select, you know, it could carry with it some additional maintenance requirements.
Thank you, sir, for answering the question.
Thank you, Justice.
I have two quick questions. One, what was the date in relation to the collapse of the bridge that the map was approved? Well, that's my first question.
The official map was approved in June of 2006, Your Honor, and the bridge fell in the river in December of 2005.
So they acknowledged that the bridge was part of the county road after it collapsed?
No, Your Honor, and that again sort of falls in the cracks here of the fact that the word road is defined to include any bridges on that road. The county actually doesn't have authority. That was I believe it was the Hidalgo case talked about the fact that the county doesn't have the authority to just go around building bridges. They do have the authority to construct roads, and subsumed within that, if a bridge is necessary for that road, they have the authority to expend funds for that.
You said that the map showed that the bridge was part of the road, and the map was approved by the commission.
The map actually doesn't refer to the bridge, Justice Dauphineau. The map simply shows the road crossing the river.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's right. That's right. And that's a subtle distinction, but it's I have to make it because
the road crossing the river was acknowledged after the bridge collapsed.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Number two, You say after the bridge collapsed, they mounded up dirt, and they put a sign on there.
That was before, actually, Your Honor. Before the bridge fell in the river, they piled the dirt, put the road closed sign, put the crossbar up.
And it says road closed or road ends?
Road closed. And, Your Honor, I'm not quite sure where I have in my time. I haven't seen the lights.
Way past
time. I'm very sorry, Your Honor.
No, it's all right. We're going to ask some questions.
Are there any further questions? I will.
Thank you, and we'll add that time to your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You'll get to answer questions, too. Okay, you ready?
Sure.
May it please the court, my name is Michael Tristan. I'm here with Cass Weiland. We represent the appellees in this case. Your Honors, this case today will determine whether the appellants can benefit from the fortuitous passage of a statute, apply it in a vacuum, and use it to prove something that is demonstrably untrue. It is not about...
We've just got standard here we have to follow to determine whether the decision trial court level should be affirmed or reversed, and we're really not like a jury that cares
okay.
about the emotional parts
of it. I understand. Well, if I could maybe move on to some of the justices'
okay.
questions. I would like to point out that this case is certainly not about the appellant's reliance upon the passage or the adoption of this county roadmap in the purchase of their property. The evidence that was introduced at trial stated plainly that in 1998, 6 years prior to the adoption of this map, the appellants, the only way they could get to that property to look at it was to travel down the official 9/10 length of County Road 4393 and then cross a gated and locked bridge that they had to unlock and then to travel over an easement on neighboring property to get to their property. There was simply no county road to the south of the bridge, and as I said, the county road map in question was adopted ultimately 6 years after the appellants bought their property and 6 months after this bridge in question ultimately collapsed. Now, the evidence, the bulk of the evidence introduced at trial, supported the jury's verdict that no, county road...
Commissioner's saying, well, in my opinion... I don't think the county's responsible for that bridge. What map existed before the one that we've been talking about?
Okay. Well, I'm glad you asked about that. The Council for Appellants has referenced a 911 addressing map that did exist prior to the official adoption of the Chapter 258 map. Now, the woman who was in charge of creating that map was a woman named Phyllis Morris, who is in charge of 911 addressing in Wise County, and she testified at the trial of this matter. She testified that that map was not intended to be any sort of official record of county, a list of county roads or county road links, but simply that it was to provide a way for first responders to make it where they needed to be in the case of emergencies. She further...
What official map was there? Was there any...
There was no official map prior to the...
There's no official map of Wise County?
There is no official map that in any way stated and showed...
Is there any official... What was the official map of Wise County immediately before the one we've been talking about?
I do not believe there was an official county road map prior to that. Prior to the map that was adopted pursuant to Chapter 258 in 2006, the county maintained a log of roads. It would maintain the name of the road, the type of road surface, and the official length. And you can see examples of that in the appellant's trial exhibits 9 and 10, but I'm not aware that there was any official map upon which anyone was to rely.
At least not in the record.
At least they're certainly not in the record.
Okay.
Given the abundance of evidence that supports the fact that the bridge in question simply was not a county-maintained bridge, the appellants, as we can see, are resting upon this.
Just talk about the facts and the law.
Okay. Well, getting to the facts of the bridge, the jury answered one jury question in this case, and they answered it no. That question was simply, at the time that the bridge that is the subject of this suit fell on the West Fork of the Trinity River, did County Road 4393 cross the river? And the jury's verdict is wholly consistent with the vast bulk of the evidence that was introduced at trial.
Okay. There was a commissioner who testified that, in his opinion, the bridge wasn't part of the road.
That's true. The bridge in question was built in...
Who else testified that the bridge was not in part of the road?
Phyllis Morris, the 911 addressing coordinator, testified that it was not a part of the road. Multiple witnesses, including the appellants themselves, testified that for over 60 years, the bridge in question had been gated and locked.
Who ungated it? Is that in the record?
I'm sorry?
Who ungated it? Is that in the record?
The only persons that stated that they were able to ungate the lock in the record were the appellants themselves.
Somebody took the gate off of the bridge. Is that right?
I'm sorry?
Was the bridge gated at the time it fell in the river?
Yes. There was a gate that would...
Excuse me. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to leave the courtroom.
Pardon.
Goodbye.
To answer your question, yes, the south end of the bridge was still gated and locked at the time that the bridge fell
Excuse
in the water.
Me, Ken, would you just talk to him and then let him have a seat, please?
Sure.
Just talk to him and let him have a seat.
And further, one of the appellants, Ms. Bennett, testified that at the time the bridge fell in the water, right up to that time, the public could not get across the bridge unless they had a lock or had a key to unlock that gate. Further, as to the fact that this was a privately maintained bridge, the last deed concerning this bridge was deeded in 1945, and it created a special reverter provision that said Wise County was to maintain the road to the north of the bridge. And the grantor and the parties interested in ingress and egress over the bridge were to maintain it from the date of that conveyance. Despite appellant's assertion that the county has continuously maintained this bridge, there is only one instance in the entire record over the past 65 years where the county performed very little maintenance on the bridge. They replaced a few timbers, and that was at the behest of a former county commissioner who acted improperly, as he had already been informed that the bridge was to be privately maintained. The evidence further showed, as Mr. Carden stated, that the official length of Wise County Road 4393, as recorded by the county, is 0.9 miles. And when Phyllis Morris, in charge of 911 addressing, physically measured County Road 4393, it was found that the span of the bridge was not included in that 0.9 mile length. And so, not only did the preponderance of the evidence support the jury's finding, there was virtually no evidence to the contrary. And because of this, the appellants are now relying on Chapter 258 in a somewhat...
Just give us facts and law, okay?
Okay. Well, now we're moving to Chapter 258, which, a brief history, prior to 1981, rural Texas counties could simply adopt roads through prescriptive easement. They had to be able to show that the county had continuously maintained a road for over 10 years and that the public had used it. However, any private citizen at any time could challenge one of these prescriptive easements. They could do it either by suit or by simply gating and locking the private road, at which point it became the county's duty to prove that the requisite county maintenance and requisite public use had actually occurred. And this presented a bit of a problem in rural counties because due to aging and moving populations, at times it was simply impossible to find a witness. I'm sorry?
Is that in the record?
It is not in the record.
Just stick to what's in the record.
Okay. Well, in any event, the purpose of Chapter 258, as set forth in the legislative history attached to our brief, was to allow rural counties to adopt a map, such as the one we've been speaking about, that would show every public or every road in which the county asserted the public may have an interest. And in June of 2006, 6 months after the bridge in question collapsed, Wise County did, in fact, adopt such a map. If you would, you could turn to Appellant's Exhibit 1, which I've provided for you, and you will see that there is a small line that represents County Road 4393 that does barely cross a dotted line that represents Trinity River, and that protrusion is less than 1/16 inch. The map does not state whether that dotted line represents the center of the river. It does not state at any point what the span of the river is. At trial, every former county official that testified explicitly testified that to the extent the map indicates 4393 crossed the Trinity River, it is simply wrong. There is evidence that there are over 900 miles of road in Wise County. The former commissioner in charge of the precinct in which County Road 4393 exists stated that he simply could not review every part of the map.
Is there a county engineer?
I believe there is a county engineer.
Did the county engineer look at the map? Does the record reflect whether the county engineer looked at the map?
The record does not reflect whether the county engineer looked at the map.
Does the record reflect who prepared the map?
The record does reflect through exhibit that the map was prepared by a law firm in Austin at the behest of the county.
And does the record reflect who provided the information to the law firm in Austin?
It does not. Ultimately, former Commissioner Robert Rankin testified that he simply did not notice this 1/16th of an inch protrusion, that he believed it to be wrong, and that if he had seen it before, he would have corrected it. And in fact, Commissioner Rankin was one of the commissioners that the appellants came to when the bridge became structurally unsound, and he testified that upon an investigation, he simply found that it was not a county-maintained bridge. The county judge who was sitting at the time that the map was adopted testified that the map was adopted, quote, errors and all, end quote. And plainly, every witness that testified at trial who had any knowledge whatsoever of the adoption of the map stated that it plainly contained inaccuracies such as the one that we contend exists today. You know, despite these circumstances and the vast amount of evidence concerning the actual use and maintenance of the bridge, the appellants, through their briefing, have taken the position that simply because County Road 4393 is approximately 1/16th of an inch longer than it should have been on this map, that the bridge in question was absolutely included within County Road 4393.
Mr. Trustee, for the record, in this record, there's not any evidence that the bridge was in place at the time of the adoption of the map that is plaintiff's exhibit one. The bridge has already been wiped out by the consequence of the flow of the river and a log jam by the time this map was adopted.
That is correct. The bridge had already collapsed.
And so for the road to have extended across the river like the map shows, it would have had to merely have had some other way that people could have gotten across the river, because it just flat stopped on the side of the north side of the river, didn't it?
Well, it did. And the county has always taken the position that County Road 4393 did stop on the north end of the bank.
And so far, the case to be accurate in the sense that County Road 4393 went across the river, it would have had to have had some other way of getting across the river other than by the bridge for that road to have been accurately portrayed on the official map that was adopted that's copied as plaintiff's exhibit.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I think given the looking at the time frame of the adoption of the map is important here. As you've stated, that the adoption of the county road map occurred 6 months after this bridge collapsed. It simply did not exist. And so if one were to take appellant's arguments as to the construction of Chapter 258 of the Transportation Code, they would not only ignore blatant errors, Scribner's errors, that everyone agrees exist, and use them to force a county to maintain a county road that may not have been one. They actually, under you know, their reading, would force a county road to build a new road where one did not exist at the time the map was adopted.
The county did maintain, and it wasn't an issue as far as the trial was concerned, it did maintain County Road 4393 from the point where it would have intersected with the northern side of the bridge up to the place where it went its 9/10 of a mile and then intersected with County Roads 4380 at the north.
That is correct.
And also replaced timbers on the bridge.
Timbers were replaced on the bridge.
And the county also repaired a hole.
I believe the record reflects that the county repaired a hole that was in the front, that was on the front north end of the bridge. It was not on the bridge itself. It was simply a washout of the road leading to the bridge.
Okay. So the county repaired the bridge, prepared a map that they signed off on and adopted, showing the bridge should have been there.
Unfortunately, there's nothing in the record as to who built the bridge. All we have been able to deduce is that it was built sometime in the late 1800s.
Late 1800s?
The late 1800s, that is correct.
Well, it lasted for a long time.
It was useful for a while for the few people that could use it, I would say that. Ms. Stoffner, did you have a question? I don't know if you got cut off. I didn't know if you were in the middle of a question and got cut off or.
No, that's okay. Was mail delivered there, or did they have to go into town for the mail? Was there rural mail delivery there?
I believe the record reflects the appellants lived in Azle, Texas. They did not actually live at the property, but the record does not reflect whether they ever received mail at this property. And there's nothing in the record concerning a mailbox or.
So the only thing in the record that anticipated any governmental use of that bridge was the 911 man to allow.
That would be correct.
And
the 911 map included both. Well, all state highways, county roads, and private drives also. As I stated, the record through the testimony of Phyllis Moore stated that it was simply for first responders to be able to get where they needed to go.
The question is then, what was the provision for emergency vehicles to get across the bridge if you say it was gated and locked?
There simply was no provision that I'm aware of. The only testimony at trial, I believe the last testimony at trial, made by Ms. June Bennett, was that if you did not have a key to unlock this gate, then you would not be able to access the south bank of the river through the bridge. There simply was no way for first responders to get across the bridge.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to turn very quickly, if I could, as I have a few minutes left, to respond to, you know, the appellant's arguments concerning these ultra vires acts taken by the individual former commissioners, Robert Rankin and Michael Richardson. The appellants pled their claims in sort of a either-or fashion. They stated either Wise County officially closed the bridge in violation of Texas law, or that these individual commissioners took some ultra vires acts that resulted in an unofficial closing for which they should be individually liable. The record reflected, all of the evidence in the record reflected, that Wise County itself simply does not believe this to be a county-maintained bridge. Accordingly, there has been no official action to be taken with respect to the bridge. Secondly, the individual commissioners in this case, the record reflected they took very little action, if any, with respect to this bridge. As Mr. Cardin stated, these commissioners put a pile of dirt in front of the bridge after it was reported as being structurally unsound. They put a road close sign on County Road 4393 after the bridge had fallen in the water. These were not ultra vires acts that in any way constituted an unofficial closing of this bridge. They were simply acts to protect the public and the public safety. The court's directed verdict as to their claims should be upheld. And I can see I'm out of time.
Is this photograph accurate as to the condition of the road?
It is. I in fact, took those photographs.
Okay. Which direction are we looking in the picture?
In that picture, you're looking from the north bank of the Trinity River to the south bank of the Trinity River. The bridge in question at the time of the trial had been pulled up onto the north bank.
Okay, north bank is where the road is.
Yes, ma'am.
And is there a picture of that road? Just that little bridge you can see in this picture, right?
Yes, that is the, probably the last 200 feet of that road. There are.
Is it some kind of hot top, or is it just gravel?
At that time, it appeared to be principally dirt and gravel. There are Appellee's Trial Exhibit 2 contained a multitude of photographs. Some of them did depict the condition of the road, not at the time of trial, but perhaps 6 to 8 months prior to the time of trial.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Very briefly on rebuttal, Justice Stefano, I want to make sure it's clear the record that the gate at all relevant times for this case was at the complete south end of the bridge, basically on the south bank of the river. There was evidence in the record that said at various times over the last several decades the gate had been in different places on the bridge, but at the time of trial and certainly well before then, the gate was at the complete south end of the bridge.
So although the bridge was gated, it wasn't gated between the road and the bridge, it was gated between the bridge and the private property?
That's correct, Your Honor. And the I believe the record shows that the Bennetts, the Porters, and I believe the record contains evidence that the oil field companies could use the bridge. That was the way they could get in and out. And then,
Mr. Graham, at the time of trial, wasn't the bridge already washed out?
Yes, Judge. That picture is Justice Meyer. I'm sorry. The bridge is pulled out and it's sitting on the ground.
Wow, that's
That's because it's not showing there at all.
Wasn't the gate at the time of trial because the bridge was sitting on the bank.
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I mean, at the time of the up until the bridge collapsed, the gate was on the south end of the bridge. That's right. Now, at the time of trial, the gate had been pulled off because the bridge had been pulled off.
How could the public get across the bridge if it had a gate on it?
The public could get all the way from one end of the bridge to the other, and they would have to stop at the gate on the south end. They could traverse the full length of the bridge. But as the record shows, that you had to have a key to get through the gate onto the McGilvery Ranch and the rest of the private property.
Was there any evidence there was public usage of the bridge for any purpose up to the point of where the gate was located?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The my clients are members of the public, the Porters, their neighbors,
well,
the oil field.
Key, though, didn't they?
They did. They could get all the way across the road and down across the road, across the bridge, and to that gate.
Well, I'm just trying to decide if it was a place for people to go park on the north side and get out on the bridge and fish.
I believe the record showed that there was a little bit of that happening, Justice Meyer, and a few other activities as well. There was a bit of testimony from Phyllis Morris, actually, the 911 addressing lady, that bridge was definitely used as a fishing spot and also a high school, after high school hangout. So, the bridge was used. It was used for more than just my clients way in and out of their to their easement onto their property. Once it collapsed, of course, that's the evidence shows is they have no other current legal means of access other than oral permission.
What's your explanation or what's your recall of the evidence at trial as to why the line that's marked on Plaintiff's Exhibit 1 extends slightly across the dotted line, which I understand the evidence showed that was supposed to be the river?
That's correct, Your Honor, and I'm sorry, I don't quite.
What was your understanding, or what was the evidence at trial as to why that line protrudes slightly on the south side of the river?
There was no attempt to explain that in the record at trial, Your Honor, except from the testimony of the officials saying repeatedly, "Well, it's inaccurate. If that line goes across the river to that extent, this map is wrong." That was the explanation given at trial.
And there wasn't anybody that testified about it other than county witnesses?
That's correct, Your Honor, other than county witnesses who obviously had an interest in this case. That's the only testimony as to why that line crossed the river.
So there wasn't any affirmative evidence presented that showed that was drawn across there to represent that it was intending to show the bridge protruding across the river?
No, Your Honor. There's no evidence linking that road to the bridge other than the line on the map. And then, again, that's where we're stuck with the map.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes?
The Porters, the Bennetts, and who else used the bridge to access their private property?
I believe the only other evidence in the record, Your Honor, is that oil field people who came on to work wells on the private property south of the road. But there really are only three tracks even serviced by that road, the easement to the Bennetts. There is actually no easement, but certainly a long history of ownership of the Porter's property, which is basically due south of the bridge. both properties, you have to cross the McGilvery Ranch, which is a very large tract of property that extends both the east and west of the southern edge.
But they have other means of access.
They do. That ranch is large enough. It has access to a county road quite a ways away to the east.
Okay.
If there are no...
What about the testimony of the tenant who leased the Bennett's property before the Bennett's bought it?
He had certainly used the bridge and the road, Your Honor. His lease had lapsed long before. Frankly, I think his last day of his lease was the first day that the Bennett's owned the property, as I recall from the record.
Did he testify about the bridge, whether it was private or public?
He testified that he thought it was a private bridge, but he also testified that the county had done work on the bridge. And in fact, you can see from the pictures in the record, the quality of the road, and I believe Ms. Bennett or Mr. Bennett or both testified, the quality of this road went downhill in a hurry if the road wasn't being maintained. And so it took, the county was frequently out there maintaining the road leading certainly up to the bridge, up to the northern edge of the bridge. But Mr. Buchanan did talk about the county commissioner coming on and maintaining it at one point back in the 70s or the 80s. It was quite a while before the Bennett's owned this property.
Okay. Any other questions? Have y'all made any attempt to mediate this thing?
We have mediated, Your Honor. So, if there are any further questions, I thank the court for the time.
Thank you. Your case is submitted. We appreciate your argument. And you are free to go about your business. So.